All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. Bobby Fenton with you, post-schedule release edition of the show today, as we now sink our teeth into the true offseason, as things, you know, we got some mini camps and things like that, but you know, the last big event on the calendar before we get into the summer months here was the schedule release. We have that now. We'll get into it today. Haven't talked to you since before the draft. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. Plenty to get to on the show today here after a few weeks off over at One Game Day Place. Had a lot going on lately, and also, you know, with the draft a couple weeks ago, you know, didn't want to do that Thursday show before the first round. Then they traded out, and then they didn't make the pick till Friday. Then it was the weekend. So, you know, hey, we come, easy go during the offseason months here at the free stretch. But we are back right now and ready to go. So thanks to all of you for joining us. Thanks to the Joes for allowing me to be on this platform. It is good to talk to everybody again. And thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford, where, like always, if you're looking for any type of new or pre-owned vehicle, whether it's a car, truck, or a van, and whatever it might be, it could even be a non-Ford, they got all kinds of stuff over there, go to the website first, BillCurryFord.com. They spell it C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. You can see everything there and get a look at the completely transparent online, no-haggle pricing. Kind of narrow things down a little bit to what you might be looking at, get an idea of what's out there. Then go to the showroom itself in the huge lot a mile north of the stadium, of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway, where they've been serving the area for over 60 years. No matter what you end up getting, whether it's pre-owned or new, or whether it's a car or a truck or a van, you will have the nationwide unlimited lifetime warranty. As long as you still own the car that you purchased at Bill Curry Ford, you are covered with any type of engine trouble. You don't have to freak out if you thought you heard a sound, or you think you got some big, oh my God, repair bill coming up. Nope, just take it in. They'll take care of it. That's what you get when you sign on. It's not just when you buy the car. You've got them for the duration of the amount of time you have that car. So check them out. Again, BillCurryFord.com or a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. So like I said, lots going on. Last night I had my kids' Little League playoff game during the schedule release. And of course, there's always leaks and stuff. But normally I'm right there locked in, and I had others, you know, I was on the ball field last night coaching my kids' team. Then the Lightning had their game six. Then the schedule release was going on, so it was a big sports night. But we have our first look at it now in all of its glory. And I always say this, you know, I don't care what the actual schedule ends up saying. It could be 16 or now 17 straight Sunday 1 p.m. games, which it almost used to be back in my old days when I was a kid. But whatever it is, it's just to have it on paper, to see it, to be able to print that baby out if you want to and stick it up on the fridge. And by the way, I've already gotten a couple of emails, but I will be typing up the patented free stretch fridge schedule with color logos and graphics and everything, just like I always do. And you can email me, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. And I haven't done it yet. I usually do it closer to the season, but I'll keep the email. I won't forget it. And I will send that thing back to you in a Word file. You can print it out on your color printer. All right. You just get it up there. You know, you might want to do it now. If you want to do it now, maybe I'll make it early if a lot of you want to do it now. Because then the whole summer, you look at those dates, you look at those logos, those times, everything. And it's, you know, it ain't football season yet. It's still a long way off, but now you can kind of smell it. Seeing that schedule is like someone lit a warm fire on a cold, dark, barren winter night, and then there's that little fire now to keep you warm for a while. But it will get warmer on its own soon. And in the meantime, we've got the 17 dates to stare at as the Bucks open up with two straight road games and then come back for three straight home games and then kind of get into a little more of a rhythm after that to make their 17 games. But I'll tell you what, you know, we already knew the opponents. We already knew it was a tough schedule. It's a little front-loaded, which I don't think is a bad thing. I mean, everybody wants to get off to a good start, okay, but I think it's nicer to have it get a little easier toward the end. And they play some good teams throughout the entire schedule, don't get me wrong. But the first four games, three of them are against teams that are defending division champions, and not just defending division champions, but, you know, very solid teams here, not like sneaking into the playoffs with a 9-7 record or something type division champions. You got at Dallas to open up. Oh, and then the fourth game that's not against the defending division champion is against a team that's swept the Bucks in the regular season the past 2 years in a row in the Saints. So, open up in primetime. We'll get to all the primetime fun in a moment. But you open up in primetime Sunday Night Football at Dallas, which will be a lot of fun. Then you go to the Superdome the next week. Then you come home, Green Bay, which is the home opener, and Kansas City. Those are your first four games. And yeah, I know a lot of people look at that and they go, oh man, this is murderer's row, this is tough. And yeah, it is tough. But I'd rather do it this way. And, you know, if they, this team, you know, basically you're trying to avoid going 1-3, I think. I mean, if you're 2-2 after those first four games, you could be a really good team. You could be a better team than you were last year and still be 2-2 after your first four. And it wouldn't be anything to sneeze at either. So I wouldn't mind that. You still, I don't care who you're playing, you don't want to be 1-3 or below 500, but no need to freak out here with these first four games. But once you get through that, you know, loosens up a little bit, although not really. They have just a good schedule in general. When you have games against beyond those first four games, you still have to go take visits to Pittsburgh, and then you got the Ravens and Rams at home. At Cleveland could be tougher now with Deshaun Watson. We'll see what's going on with that. The defending AFC champion, the Bengals. Christmas night, we'll get to in a moment. So overall, though, it's a fun schedule, and it's more fun now because of the primetime games. And like you may have heard already, Tom Brady retired. They were in the middle of making the schedule, and Howard Katz, the VP of, like, you know, the NFL scheduling and like broadcasting partners, whatever his official title is, he had said like that we had a different schedule. We changed a bunch of stuff when Tom Brady unretired. And that's what I've told you guys know this already, but that's what I've been saying. I mean, having Tom Brady on the team, aside from it helping the team win, of course, makes us a nationally relevant team. And, you know, that doesn't win or lose you games at the end of the day. You know, the games, you could be one of the teams that plays every game at 1 o'clock on Sunday and you could still go 14-3, okay? But it's just more fun as a fan. And so the Bucs now do have the maximum number of primetime games at five total. Three of those are on Sunday Night Football, including one at home on Sunday Night Football, which is the Chiefs game in Week 4 is Sunday night. One Monday, so they got three Sunday Night Football games total, one at home. One Monday Night Football game total, and that is also at home. That's the Saints game the second time around on December 5th. One Thursday Night Football game total, and that is at home against the Ravens. So of the five primetime games, three of them are here at Raymond James. And the home schedule, just looking over things, well, then you got the Germany game against the Seahawks, of course, which counts as a home game. But with the 9-8 split, they still play eight home games and eight road games, and then one neutral site game in Germany. So just breaking it all down, three Sunday nights, one Monday night, one Thursday night, one at 9:30 in the morning. So they've really got six games where they are, only five are technically primetime, but they've got six games where they are playing on national television as the only team, or along with their opponent, the only game going in the NFL at that particular time. Six times that happens. Then Sunday at 1 p.m., six times. Only two of those are at home. And then Sunday in the late slot at 4:25, four times. Three of those are at home. So if you look at the home schedule, let's say you're a season ticket holder, or you're just planning to go to a lot of games here, and you're thinking about, you know, how hard it is to sit through some of those Sunday 1 o'clock games, especially early in the season. There's only really one, I think, that stands out here, and that is their third home game. It's in Week 5 against Atlanta. That's on October 9th at 1 p.m. That could be a hot one. But for the most part, you can put the sunscreen away, really, for this season, which is a beautiful thing because, hey, I know the sun sets late, but I mean, you know, when it gets a little lower in the sky. See, with me, one of the things I hate the most about being out in the sun, it's not actually being out in the sun. I love that. I love going to the beach. I love playing sports. I hate having to worry about sunscreen or hats or sun protection. I hate that. And I care about, you know, I'm not that I'm vain and not that I'm the best looking guy or any in the history of the world or anything, but I don't want premature wrinkling. I'm not really likely for skin cancer because I got kind of a darker complexion anyway. But I don't want skin cancer. But mainly just I don't want my skin to be all wrinkly and you know, aging prematurely. So I put sunscreen on when I'm out in the sun. If you listed everything in the world that people do on a routine basis, I would rank putting sunscreen on near last. I literally detest putting sunscreen on. It's annoying. It's time-consuming when you're trying to get out the door. It burns my eyes if I start sweating later. My hands are all greasy from putting it on. And then you go to wash your hands and it doesn't wash right off because it's so thick. And I use the good stuff. My wife gets the stuff, you know, that's like zinc-based, so it's thicker, not the chemical-based stuff. So anyway, I'm getting off on a tangent, but the point is, God almighty, I hate sunscreen. Now, some of you may agree or some of you may not even bother. You should. By the way, I recommend everybody should wear sunscreen if they're going to be out in the sun. Point is, you don't have to worry about that much because 425, by then, the sun's getting lower. And by halftime, even before the time change, you're pretty okay. Your UV index there isn't bad. Then you got Sunday night games. In fact, out of the eight games that will be played at Raymond James Stadium this year, okay, you've got one on Sunday night, one on Monday night, one on Thursday night. That's three. Three more at 425. That's six. Just 2 1 o'clock games at Raymond James Stadium this year. And one of those is the final. It's on New Year's Day at one, which can still be pretty hot, but it's the second to last game against Carolina. The week 18, the last game at Atlanta, hasn't been listed as a time yet. That's a road game either way. And that could very well end up being Sunday at one as well. But overall, pretty good, right? Like, that's as a fan, just talking about a fan, and you're going to be sitting in your seat at Raymond James Stadium, most of the time it should be pretty pleasant this year, as opposed to playing like 6 of the 8 Sunday at 1 like we used to, or even 7 of the 8. That's out the window now. And everybody loves the energy of a night game, but those 425 games, I like those too, and those are a lot of fun. So the home schedule looks pretty good. It's a little front-loaded. Like I said, they get those 3 in a row in weeks 3, 4, and 5. There are only – actually, it's more than I thought. There are 8 teams this year that have 3 consecutive road games in 3 straight weeks. Then there are a handful more that have 3 straight home games but with a bye week mixed in. So they actually don't even get on an airplane for like over a month. And I didn't think that was that common, but it actually, I guess, is more common than I thought. So you open up with the 2 on the road, then the 3 straight at home. Then you go 2 road, 2 home, London, bye week, and then it alternates the rest of the way in road, home, road, home, road, home, road. And down the stretch, when they're going to need to collect wins, I mean, you need them anytime, but, you know, they've got the Bengals and the 49ers and the Cardinals there late in the season, but they close with the Panthers and Falcons, which are games you'd like to think they'd be able to win. I'm not going to go game by game through the schedule like some people do and try and guess their record or anything like that, because that's silly, I think, but I'm more looking at the structure of it, and we already knew from advanced stuff we got about when the Germany game was going to be. So having the late bye week, that worked out well for the Bucs in 2020, and in general it seems to be more preferred, so you'll take that. Let's break down some of the numbers as far as the hidden things. You know, everybody knows, oh, we have the fourth toughest schedule, which I never put too much stock in that because that's just based on winning percentage from last year, and teams can fluctuate wildly. We can see by looking at these teams that these are good teams, but you say, okay, the Bucs have the fourth toughest schedule. Well, we know they play tough opponents, but how did it get laid out? Well, first of all, there's a few things to look at. Your net travel miles is a big one that people don't talk about. People talk about total travel miles. They say, oh, these guys have to travel more. And it's not just travel miles, but, you know, there's two teams on the field. So compared to your opponents is what really matters, not just what you have. So the Bucs, for example, they've got, I think, the second most travel miles behind Seattle, who always has a lot given their location. But they have the second most travel miles in the NFL this year on their schedule. Obviously, the London trip has a lot to do with that. And so there's that. Plus, they do play the NFC West, so you've got trips to Arizona, trips to San Francisco mixed in there. So when you combine a London trip and then you're playing a Western division, in this case the NFC West, they got some travel miles. But their net travel miles, in other words, the amount of miles they have to travel compared to what their opponents have to travel, is middle of the pack. So that's actually not that bad. And that has been proven to have more of an effect than just simple total travel miles. You got to look at net, and the Bucs don't do too bad there. They actually came out really well with rest differential, and this one is even more. This is a big one. This one actually matters the most of all the different little things you look at in the schedule. And rest differential is basically the number of days rest you have versus the number of days rest your opponents have. Like if you're playing on a Sunday and then the next week you play on Sunday again, but your opponent played on Monday Night Football, you had the full week's rest. They had just the 6 days rest, right? So little things like that. So the Bucs this year, out of 32 teams, have the 5th best net rest differential in the league. That's a good thing. They're plus 8 days. They don't play any games versus an opponent who's coming off a bye week. And I think they had multiple instances of that last season, so that's big. Only in 2 weeks of the 17 games, I should say, do they have a negative differential at all. So only two of their 17 games does their opponent have more rest than they do. But plus 8 days is pretty good. Number one in the league is the Bills at a plus 13 rest differential. But again, you look at the toughness of the schedule of the opponents. Okay, what else can we look at? These are things. And being the fifth best in the rest differential category is pretty good, I think. And having no games versus opponent off of byes is a big reason for that. So just a couple games where they are on the short end of that stick. They only have 3 short weeks. And, you know, when you have, like, you play on Thursday, that's a short week. Or you play on Monday, the next week's a short week. They only have 3 of those. Now, road short weeks are kind of even more of a double whammy. And they have 2 of those 3 short weeks are weeks where they go on the road on their short week. But that's pretty common. Most teams have around there, which is why, again, net is what you have to look at, because it doesn't compare unfavorably, really, when you look at the whole thing. So, travel miles check out pretty okay. Rest differential checks out pretty okay. Not a lot to complain about here in the schedule, aside from just having good teams on it. And we knew that beforehand. I don't think they could have asked for much more from the league. Besides that, and yeah, I know some people are like, oh, they have to open up with 2 straight on the road. Well, I mean, that's just 2 fewer they have to close with, and so not much of a problem with it. And the 5 primetime games, like I've been telling you guys, okay, savor all this. If you have any amount of history as a Bucks fan, if you didn't just come and show up the last 2 years, then you can probably relate to what those days were like when nobody cared about the Bucks. They were a complete afterthought. Even when the times when they were pretty decent, they might throw them a bone with a national game or two, and it was such a big deal when they did. But most of the time, you'd take, and it, when you go way back to like when I grew up in the 80s and 90s, you take your one, maybe once every couple of years, you'd play on like Sunday night football. And that was back when Sunday night football wasn't as big of a deal and Monday was the bigger deal, back when Sunday night football was on ESPN and Monday night was on ABC. Now I think Sunday night's kind of the more marquee and Monday night's the number two. But growing up, it was like, you know, every once in a while you'd get one of those games, and like I said, it was a huge deal. To have it just every year penciled in 5 primetime games, I mean 5, and I love it. I can't get enough of it, including Christmas night. And let's talk for a second about that, because the Buccaneers, for the first time in their franchise history, will play a game on Christmas day or night. On December 25th, it is Sunday night football. Christmas Eve falls on Saturday this year, and Christmas Day falls on Sunday this year. So when that happens, I mean, these things can be kind of unavoidable. But the Christmas triple header this year, kind of similar to what they do on Thanksgiving, is what they're going to have for Christmas. So a lot of times in the past, they've moved the entire week up to that Saturday and just played the whole week and given everybody Sunday off. Now they've put 3 games on Christmas Day, including the Bucks at the Cardinals. So, listen, this is one of those things. I think some guys on Twitter that cover the NFL mentioned this before they announced that it was the Bucks. I just mean when they announced the triple header, that they were going to do 3 games on Christmas. And it is an incredible hardship. I mean, it's easy for us to sit there and be like, oh, yeah, because we just want to plop on our couch after a long couple of days of holiday festivities, if you celebrate Christmas, and be like, oh, yep, okay, football, you know, easy, right? But, like, a lot of people, and you got to think of what goes into putting on an NFL game, okay? Besides just the players and coaches, but, of course, them too. All the team staff, administrators, all the media that cover the game, broadcasters, all these people, all the concession stand workers, all the ticket takers, all the ushers, all the parking lot attendants, everybody you normally see on any other day when you go to an NFL game during the year, weeks, you know, 1 through 15, well, for Christmas week, those people have to do the exact same jobs at the exact same times, regardless of the fact that it's Christmas Day. It's just another Sunday to them. So this poses a hardship for a lot of people. That's on one hand. On the other hand, like I said, football, nonstop football all day on Christmas. How great is that? So, hey, and listen, this one's a road game, so I'm not going to have to personally do anything. Nobody around here is. But like if you're a Buccaneers beat writer, for example, not, you know, it's one thing to blow off the players and coaches. Oh, it's their job. They make millions of dollars. Okay. But like I said, all the regular folks, they got to go too. They're going to be away from their families. And if it's a road game, that means you're traveling on Christmas Eve probably. And you're gone all Christmas Eve, all Christmas Day. You're just gone. That, you just erase it. If you're someone who celebrates Christmas, then that's off the table. And I feel bad for them, okay? I do. But I'd be lying if I said I wasn't fired up for it, because I am. And I think you probably are too. So on Christmas Day, with the Bucks playing at 120, or I mean 820, I should say, they still have games in the regular time slots too, though, like Green Bay at Miami, Sunday, 1 p.m., Christmas Day. That's a 1 p.m. game, so people have to get to the stadium that are working and stuff, like early in the morning, like 8, 9, 10 a.m., depending on what your job is, maybe even earlier. That's Christmas morning. Like, imagine you have kids opening presents. Oh, not this year. I'm going to the stadium. And again, I feel bad for them. I feel bad for them. But I'll love the idea of having 9 straight hours of football on that day. I mean, that can't miss. So Green Bay at Miami is the 1 o'clock game on Christmas. Denver at Los Angeles, the Rams, is at 4:30. And then, of course, the Bucks visit the Cardinals at 8:20. And I'll bet you a ton of Green Bay people make that trip to Miami and just make that their holiday vacation. So I don't think there'll be a problem with people going to the games. A lot of people make a fun time out of it. But yes, I do not completely disregard the hardships that it poses and things like that. I understand. And again, it's a tough thing. But the NFL knows they put that on there. We're going to be all in. And we are. And it's the same thing with Thanksgiving. You know, they've been doing that for years. But now they have the Thanksgiving night game. Then the Friday after Thanksgiving will be a bunch of college football games. And there'll be a World Cup going on this year in the fall. If you're into that, I think that that's going on in November. I know that's going on in November because the day after Thanksgiving is the day that Florida State plays Florida this year and the United States plays England in the World Cup. So there's going to be a lot going on this fall. But looking at this Bucks schedule, I'm trying to envision if it had been a home game Christmas night instead of a road game in prime time. And the night makes it a little bit easier because Christmas night's actually a very popular night for people to go out and do things. Sunday at 1 on Christmas Day, that's a little bit tough. But a night game, I mean, isn't Christmas night like one of the biggest people go out to the movies nights of the year, if I'm not mistaken? I think it might be. I know the movie theaters are always packed that night because people are finally unwinding after a long, you know, whatever, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, whatever people do it different ways. So I think it's cool. And I think it should be a lot of fun. And looking over the rest of the schedule, oh, and the Bucks, by the way, have never played on Christmas, like I said. They've played on Christmas Eve 8 times. They're 2-6. I remember going to a few of those on Christmas Eve. Like, they were usually 1 o'clock games, though, and it was, you know, then it would bleed right into whatever you're doing with your family. So anyway, if there's any thoughts you have or any cushion, discussion, comments, anything like that, feel free always to send them over to me. My email address, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. It's BOBBYGAMEDAY, bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can always get me at bobbygameday. And like I said, if you want a fridge schedule, when I do type that up, and we've got a little bit of an off season to work with now, but when I do type that up, I can send that file easily by email to anybody who wants one, print it out, stick it on the side of your fridge. The logos, the colors, they really pop. They let you know it's football season. And if you want to get a head start on it, I can do it a little earlier. And if you want to stare at it all summer and really burn those dates into your mind, that's fine too. But it's cool to finally have it out there. Now we've had the schedule release. We've had the draft. I didn't really talk much about the draft, of course. But when the Bucks were going through all that, and at the time, I remember tweeting during the draft because during when the whole first round was going on and things were going pretty well for the Bucks as far as looking at all the different players that they might have had an eye on, and none of them were really getting taken. A couple of guards did, I think, but it was all set up for them. And what happened was basically they had multiple players they said they liked, figured they could get anybody from that group by trading down a few spots, did that with the Jags, got Logan Hall from Houston, which is fine. I mean, you know, when you get to this point, you don't know for sure. It's not like picking in the top five where you're drafting what you hope is a future Hall of Famer. But Logan Hall is somebody, you know, people were talking about Sean from Georgia, the safety, and I know he's been saying some things lately about how he had the Bucks tell him specifically they were going to take him at 27. If he was there, then he was there, but they traded down instead. But I liked him a lot. I mean, this is coming from a Gator fan who watched him play against the Gators. But the thing with Sean is he would have had less of an impact in year one, whereas Logan Hall, given, and this is more of a numbers thing, I'm not saying Hall or Sean is better than the other, we have no idea yet, but Hall will play a more prominent role right off the bat, given where the Bucks are up front. And of course, we still don't know, you know, the full depth chart and everything, but, you know, he could have a very important role up there quickly, depending on how he develops. And Luke Gedecky as well, the offensive tackle from Central Michigan, you know, he's not a guard, but he's a guy that has that ability. And either way, they have lots of depth on the offensive line with him now. Rashad White, the running back from Arizona State, you know my thoughts. There was talk about them. I remember because they had the first pick of the second round, right? And so, like, all the preview shows all day long leading up to the start of round two. I think even Mel Kiper was like, you know, running back's a spot here. The Bucs could definitely go and do that. And they ended up trading out of that one instead. Or not trading out of that one, but they took Hall and then they traded down for the 57th pick. But I just didn't want to take Rashad White, or not just specifically Rashad White, anybody that's a running back in the second round. I even tweeted, do not bleeping take a running back in the second round. And they didn't. They ended up doing it in the third round. I guess that's okay. It's a little higher still than I would have preferred. And there's nothing against White. He might end up being really good. But, you know, I think people get a little too enamored with the whole running back thing and, you know, how interchangeable and, I don't want to say easily replaceable, but how little it matters where you got them from when it comes to how good they end up being. The guys that are off the street or seventh rounders end up being just as effective as guys who you drafted in the first, second, or third round. You know, that's my thing with running backs. But they went that route in the third round. Of course, Cade Otton, the tight end, we knew they were going to get a tight end at some point. And then Jake Camarda, the punter from Georgia. Matt Areza was like this guy they've been hyping up in college for San Diego State. I mean, he can punt the ball to the moon. And not that I thought the Bucs or anybody was going to take a punter too high, but if there was going to be, it was going to be Matt Areza, right? And they actually had him on the board. They like Camarda better. I'm sure Camarda, from everything I've read, is very good. With Areza, apparently, I guess there's a little bit of a knock on him that he's just basically a bomber, which you think, hey, yes, that's the whole point. You're a punter. You want guys who can kick the ball far and high. Why are we overthinking this? But with the NFL, there's a lot more directional kicking and things like that. And, you know, apparently, Camarda is somebody that, whether you think they should have done it in round four or not, he's clearly going to be the guy. So Bradley Pinion, you know, that's one way to save some money. Go with a rookie there instead of Pinion. And if he's as good as they're supposed to be, and he does kickoffs too the same way Pinion is supposedly, you know, a kickoff guy, or not supposedly, he was. Camarda supposedly is as well. So we'll see if that exchange works out well for the Bucs. Certainly with the salary cap, it's going to help him out. And then you get on down the line with Zion McCollum, Coke Kieft, and Andre Anthony. And, of course, you know, who knows with any of those. But overall with the draft, and we'll talk more about it when we have, you know, more time to kind of clear our throat during the offseason, I was fine with it. Whenever you're picking that late in the first round, like I said, it's more of a wait-and-see thing. But Joe Tryon, I thought, from what we saw in year one, worked out pretty well, and I think that this could be a big, big step forward for him this year now as he'll get much more playing time and, you know, a guy drafted that high needs to be used more, and he'll get his chance. And then we have a chance with Logan Hall now to see how he develops through year one for this Buccaneer team that now has a schedule on paper. And we are staring down the barrel of a long, yes, but not as long anymore, offseason. And we're going to have fun. You know Joe Bucs fan, okay? If you guys are on Joe Bucs fan, you already know. Best place anywhere for Bucs coverage year-round. Multiple articles are going up every day. So you don't have to change anything as we get into the whole summertime. And in the meantime, folks, thank you so much for listening. Thanks to the Joes for giving me this platform to allow me to be in front of you. Thanks to our good friends at Bill Curry Ford for sponsoring the show. And hey, what do we got? We got a game 7 for the Lightning and Maple Leafs this weekend. All right. Rays are playing pretty decent right now. Week off between the Preakness, although I know Rich Strike isn't going to the Preakness. I know it shapes up to be a good race. The Derby was incredible with Rich Strike. So the springtime's got action. Oh, and the U.S. Open's next week. There's stuff, and we're going to be right here with the football side of it, taking you through the offseason. So in the meantime, whatever you're doing, be safe, have fun. Thank you for listening. I'll be back next week. And in the meantime, wherever you are, as always, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.